Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to our new radio show, Friends Talk with John, formerly known as Friends Forum. My name is John McCormick, and I am your host. Just as the talk show name suggests, this is an informal forum for friends to come together and discuss topics and or share random thoughts. Although I will suggest topics at times, everyone is welcome to suggest a topic as well. However, tonight's show will focus mainly on writing and showcase the talents of some of my author friends. It should be a lot of fun and informative to any new writers. The show will be in a few segments over the next 90 minutes. That includes interviews and some surprises, in addition to our discussion. I created this show so friends I may never get a chance to meet in person can at least talk to each other here. It's like the next best thing. We get to put a voice with a face. I just want to say how grateful I am to all my friends I have made online through Facebook and other social networking sites, and I want to thank each one of you for being a friend. Well, it's now time to start the show. You have two options. You can choose to just listen to the show via your computer, or you can call in to join the live group discussion on the air. If you call in, you will hear the show through your phone. The listener dial-in number is 646-595-2058. That's 646-595-2058. Or, if needed, call the toll-free number at 1-888-488-4526. That's 1-888-488-4526. So please call in now to be connected. Thank you in advance for listening to the show and to anyone that calls in. Again, please call in now. I'd like to mention again how grateful I am for my friends and look forward to speaking with some of you tonight on the show. So be sure to call in now.
Well, before we get to our first callers, what I wanted to do, keeping with the theme of the show tonight, which is about writing, I did want to share something to start the show off that I wrote when I was only 10 years old. Now, the reason why I want to share this is because it is what started me as a writer. When I wrote this poem for school, for a competition, and then I won the competition, I was encouraged by my teacher to keep a journal and to do more writing, and I've never stopped all these years, and it's all because of that first poem I wrote and also from that teacher. So I thought I would just share that myself before we get to all the interviews and everything else that we're going to do tonight. It's a very short and very simple poem, considering I was very young when I wrote it. So here it is. It's called When I Was Young, which is kind of cute because I'm 10 years old writing a poem about when I was young. So here it is.
When I Was Young by John S. McCormick, age 10. When I was young, I knew not much of things like hating, hurting, and such. But as I grew, I began to see what this world had for me. I didn't like it, not one bit, but these things shall never quit. So I swore I would not let any of these things to me affect. But slowly I begun to get those feelings of wrong that would not quit. I became a person I didn't want to be, and realized the world had affected me. So now to God I must pray to change my life, to lead my way.
And we are back. I hope you guys liked the poem. Like I said, it's pretty simple, but not bad for a 10-year-old. I also plan to share near the end of the show a recording of a short story. I may play it sooner than that, but I wrote this short story, and a friend of mine, Carl Schreiber, he did the voiceover for it for me, and I really appreciate him doing that. He did an excellent job. And then at the very end of the show, I plan to play a recording of a bedtime story, you know, to see us all for the night, that I also wrote. That's my participation in this writing show, are those three things. And then, like I said, we do have a few scheduled interviews, and I hope everyone can make it. I know everyone's very busy, and maybe, they might get delayed in calling in, but I hope they all get an opportunity to call in, and we can definitely do those interviews, because I'm really looking forward to it. But like I wanted to say, if you haven't called in yet, please do so. Again, let me give you the call-in number. It's 646-595-2058. Or you can call the toll-free number at 1-888-488-4526. Well, it does look like we have our first caller, and who's calling in tonight?
This is K.R. Jordan.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, and I'm so glad you called in because you're going to be my first interview tonight. So this is exciting. Yes, yes. I know a lot of people are looking forward to hearing, you know, what you have to say, and I know I have a few people that are calling in just to listen to you because they really are interested in finding out, you know, because one person is like a new writer, and I know that they want to hear about your story and how you got started and everything. So we're going to get to your interview in just a moment, but I did want to mention that we do have one more caller calling in. I just wanted to see if they wanted to introduce themselves or not.
Okay.
Hey, John.
Who's this?
This is Dan. I promised I'd call in.
Hey, Dan. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Great. I'm good. So sorry I didn't know what your theme was, or else I'd try and find some writing or something that I'd have in one of my closets or whatever to talk about.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, there's always future shows, and I would always love to feature that in the future, anything that you'd like to share, because that's what I try to do. Usually the show is more of an open forum, but I usually have topics, though, that I usually like to discuss. But at the same time, I do open it up to my callers to see if there's something that's going on, maybe something they want to share. Which is great. And I am going to have a segment of that right near the end of the show for anybody who has anything they want to talk about. I always try to keep at least part of the show about that. It's been a lot of fun. This is actually my tenth show so far. And I just recently changed the name. So that's why it looks like it's only one show for this particular name. But actually, under another name, Friends Forum, I had 9 shows. And we did pretty well. We had a total of, I think, around 7,500 callers, you know, that had listened to it either live or archived files. So so it was a pretty popular show, I guess. I don't know what the numbers mean, but it sounded pretty impressive to me. But yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know, again, you know, my participation is later on tonight. I'm going to do a short story. I was so lucky to get Carl Schreiber to record it for me. He has an amazing voice. He's just so perfect at it. And I tried, wow, like, I don't know, 35 times, and I couldn't do it. So I think I'm going to stick to the writing, and then I'm going to get someone else, you know, to narrate it or do the voiceover, you know, all my work in the future, because, you know, unless it's very short, then I can do it. But, Well, you know, we still have a little bit of time here. We may get a couple more callers, but if we don't, here just a few minutes, I think what we're going to do, because it's right on time to do this, is I wanted to start interviewing. K.R. Jordan, is that what you prefer to go by, or do you like to go by River Jordan?
Well, I started out as River Jordan, but then, of course, there's another really proliferate author named River Jordan, so I changed it to K.R. Jordan. But you can call me River.
Is that okay? That's how I've always called you, as River.
I know. That's what everyone says.
but still, you can have your professional name that you write by, you know, obviously, yeah, and then still have your personal name that your friends know you have. So that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it looks like we have one more caller. Let me see. Let me go ahead and connect them and see who's calling in. I see we have a new caller. Who's calling in?
This is your buddy Cal Kane. How you doing?
Cal, you made it. Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Cal's called in a few times. He's my buddy here, and I really appreciate his support when he calls in. And well, we're just getting ready to get started with our first interview tonight, Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is River Jordan, but her professional name that she goes by now is K.R. Jordan. Okay, and she's a very just gifted and amazing person. She's a friend of mine that I've just enjoyed knowing for so many years. And So, River, I just wanted to go ahead and just, you know, start the interview. Are you ready to do that?
Yes, I am.
Very good, very good. Well, let me just ask you, what and or who inspired you to write?
I have to say my parents, and probably a lot of authors say that, but it's actually true for me. My mom read all the time. She read anything and everything that she could get her hands on. I remember one Christmas vacation where, you know, she was reading dentistry books. So, she was really, she loved to read, and I love to read too. That started all of my desire to write. And also, my dad, he was a shrimper, and all the time when he would come back in from the Gulf, we would go and help clean the cabin of the Gulf boat. And we would find all his books. And I noticed that every time I would see him, he had Louis L'Amour in his back pocket. That was his favorite author. Isn't that cool?
Yes, it is. It's very cool.
It is. And then when I got a little older, I started to read Louis L'Amour as well. And, of course, you know, I love Louis L'Amour, too. I love his writing. So I would say my parents and very, very wonderful, inspirational parents.
Well, that sounds awesome. And I know you just mentioned about, you know, fishing and everything, but didn't you just go fishing today, I think, too, right?
I did.
I remember reading that. Yeah.
Yes. I went to the lake and caught a couple of Appaloosas and some catfish and a Gasper goose. Yep.
Wow. Well, you know, I used to go fishing with my dad years ago, and we went to this river that was, like, really deep. I think it was, like, 200 feet deep or something like that. It was, like, a really wild river. And the fish would be so big. I mean, we didn't catch one really, really, really big, but there would be fish as big as, like, 10 feet in there. You know, I don't know how they can grow that big, you know? Could you imagine trying to catch one of those things? Oh, my God. Now, you said, now when you started your writing, was after noticing, you know, like the books and reading the books and your parents and all that. Did you like it? What was kind of writing did you start writing, you know, at that time? Was it like poems? Did you keep a journal? You know, things like that.
When I was in junior high school, around 7th and 8th grade, I did start keeping kind of a journal, just like where I would jot thoughts and notes down. The first pieces that I wrote were dreams. Yeah. So, I would write the dreams down, yeah.
Your dreams. So these were based, your stories were based on your actual dreams yourself then, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I mean, I tell you what, I mean, I know most of us at times can have some crazy, really interesting, very interesting dreams. I know I dream crazy dreams every night. I probably should write down, you know. I think that's a very good suggestion to people is to just start off writing your dreams down. That's cool. So now I know that's how you started, but now how do you come up with the story ideas, you know, that you write about today?
Most of the ones that I've started actually are based loosely on urban myths for the Hispanic culture.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first story that I had published, Lila, is based upon a urban myth. There's not really a name for it, but the figure is a lechuza, which is the name for a barn owl, the white owl. And it is considered like a scary thing for Hispanic children. Mostly those urban myths are designed to get the kids in before dark, right? Because
back
in the day, you know, nobody wanted to come inside because we were all playing outside. So, you know, our moms or our dads would tell us that the lechuza was going to get us. And so I know. But I think that that's probably common in a lot of cultures, but ours is kind of really spooky. And I was talking to my great uncle one time, and he was telling me the story about an actual true story where he said that his grandfather was a lechuza hunter. Mm. And so that kind of got my, you know, creativeness moving, right? And so I started writing the story, and then a couple of Facebook friends encouraged me to try to get it published in an anthology, right? And so I did,
and that
was like the beginning. So, and I've had a few pieces published since then, and then my most recent standalone has recently been published. So, yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more of some of the work that you've had published? I know that you told what your stories have been based on and things like that, but what are the names of some of the things that you've published?
Okay, well, the first one was named Lila, and that is about Chusas. And the second piece that I have published, I named Alba, and it's not really about an urban myth, but there's a paranormal element to it. It's that one's published in Dark Light Anthology, and that's Crushing Hearts and Black Butterfly Publishing. And then I have another piece that I co-wrote with author Scott Prissing, and that one is Blue Fire Heat, and it is it's a kind of fairy tale about his two main characters of his YA series. But in the fairy tale, they consummate their love. And I wrote the fairy tale part of it, and he added in the sexual element to it. And that one actually has sold really well, as well as Dark Light and the Red Wine Anthology, which is the anthology for Lila. And then this most recent one is actually just all me, and it's also kind of a fairy tale because it is about fairies, but it is about a fairy who is banished from the kingdom because she needs to find her soulmate, and then she goes through all of these wonderful, exciting adventures and fighting to be free, and then finally, the ending is really a surprise. But it's really not the ending because I'm already working on the second half of that whole story.
Oh, great, great, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And now, is there anything that you're working on, like right now, that hasn't been published yet that you might want to share or tell us a little bit about?
Well, I'm working on Lila and Alba, the two short stories, are actually, they are part of a bigger, are part of a novel that I'm writing. And it is called, the name right now is The 12 Truths. And they're both going to be in it, and it's about how they discover that their inner strength is something that they discover, that they didn't know that they had the strength inside of them to overcome all of the adversity in their lives. You know, they're not magical like some other creatures in the story, in the novel, but they find that they don't need that because they have inner strength that they discover. So it's really kind of cool and interesting, and I hope the readers like it, and I hope to have it finished by this year.
And yeah, that's That's great. I mean, it sounds interesting. I'd love to read it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, is there anything else you're working on, or is it mainly books that you write, or do you ever write like stage plays or screenplays or anything like that, or is it mainly like books and stories, short stories and things like that?
Actually, I have never written like screenplays or anything like that. Mostly it's just writing short stories and novels and poetry. I write a lot of poetry.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so no screenplays or anything like that. I haven't ever really attempted it.
Right.
So I can't even comment on that.
Well, I think, you know, everyone has their own interests, you know, in writing, what they want to write about. So I think that's cool. Yeah. Well, now, how can someone get copies of your work? Where now, you know, is it online? Where can they go?
Okay, well, the book that I published with author Scott Prusing can be found at his own personal website, scottprusing.com. But all of my other work is on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I think that they will be releasing in Kobo soon, but I don't think that it's out there yet.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, do you have if someone wants to know about you personally? I mean, as far as a writer and your work too. Do you have like a personal website or any links, you know, for someone to get more information about you or your work other than purchasing it somewhere, you know, online?
I have an author, Amazon.com author page, and I also have a Goodreads author page. I am on Facebook under River Jordan.
Right.
And you can find me there and on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter also. I don't have a website, my personal website or a personal blog. I actually have not found the time to give
sure.
those endeavors. I think that it in order to have a successful website or a successful blog, you have to have the time to be able to post things frequently, you know, in order to
keep
your readers interested. And, you know, but with life and all, I don't have really the time.
You know, I totally understand that because I've been on Twitter forever and I don't know how. I may have made, 10 posts, you know, in the last 3 years or something.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I just don't. And then I have a blog, too. I think it's called Blogsport. I think that's what it's called, .com. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking I'm going to really get serious about it. And the next thing I know, you know, I'm just writing, something about Labor Day. And the next thing you know, it's like, you know, it's like the next year, you know. So it's kind of funny. So
exactly.
I totally understand that. But I just was wondering, though, River, is there any, advice or guidance you can give to someone that might be a new writer? Maybe they've written a lot of stuff, but they just haven't, you know, processed it yet. You know, they may still be in the stages of getting it copyrighted and things like that. Is there just anything that you can let them know that might be helpful?
The thing that I usually tell people, and believe me, I am a beginner. You know, I don't have that much experience. My first work was published a year and a half ago. So you see, I don't have that much experience. But I always like to encourage people that are interested or that ask me, well, what do you think about this? Do you think this is this good writing? Do you like this? And I always like to tell them not to be afraid to put your work out there. Don't be afraid to try for an open call for stories or an open call for novels. Just go for it. Don't be afraid of it because the worst they can say is no. And you know what?
Right.
They may say no 10 or 12 times, you know, or 100 times. And we all know wonderful, fantastic, classic authors that were told that their work wasn't any good, you know, Charles Dickens being one. You know, the thing of it is that not be afraid to put your work out there. And any thought that you have, my really good friend of mine, author, another author told me, just write it down. You know, you have a good thought or even just a few words, just write them down in your journal and keep your journal at your side, because every now and then something's going to come to you and it's going to be a great idea, and maybe you can't use it today, but maybe next year you can, or next month. So write everything down and don't be afraid to put your work out there. You're not going to be the most perfect editor of your own work. You know, you may have a friend that can do that for you, to look at your work for you. But, you know, just put it out there. Just because you're a good writer doesn't mean that you're actually good in grammar. So that's what they have editors for.
Yeah, thank God for the editors.
Exactly. But that would be my advice, is not to be afraid and just, you know, have fun with it, enjoy it, and, you know, just don't be afraid.
Well, I think that's wonderful advice, and I think it's perfect, because I do believe there's a lot of people out there that get caught up in their writing as far as not wanting to move forward, because maybe they, like you said, maybe the grammar they know isn't perfect, or the punctuation, or whatever, and that makes them afraid that they're not a good writer because they don't have those things. But the thing is, like you said, if you just write your ideas down and you just write, because I know I have found sometimes when I'm writing something, I'll just think of a scene and start writing the scene down. You know, I don't know where it's going to fit into the story, but, you know, I think when you have, like, that's a great suggestion you also gave, and that is always have pen and paper handy with you, you know, at all times, because you never know when you're going to get a great suggestion and a great idea, and you want to write it down. Because I know I've done that, and I don't have a pen or paper, and then I forget about it, you know? So I'm like, I know that was really good, but why can't I remember it, you know? So, you know, so it's good advice. And I actually have this wallet just the right size that fits a little small, these little small writing booklets that you can get from Staples. And it fits perfect in there. It almost looks like it's like part of the wallet. But I carry that thing around all the time. I always have a pen. And it just, I think when you're a writer, that's just such a great idea. So, but thank you. I wanted to open it up, though, to Cal and also to Dan. Did you guys have any comments or any questions for River?
Well, I don't exactly have a question. This is Dan, by the way. But it's one of the points she made, you know, about writing down your dreams. I really should start getting to do that, because I've been having some strange dreams lately. And, you know,
Right.
You don't know what can come from them, you know.
Oh, that's yeah. Go ahead, River.
I was just going to say that's true, because when you have dreams, sometimes it's your subconscious trying to speak to you, or it could be for any reason that you have, like, a scary dream, or you have an adventurous dream, or, like, sometimes, I think that you had said recently that you had a dream that you were flying, John.
Oh, I have all kinds of unusual dreams, yes.
Anyway, I just think that that's a good point to write down your dreams, even the ones where you're flying, because you never know, your mind might be telling you to make a decision that you're afraid to make or whatever, or it could be the beginning of a wonderful story.
Yeah, and I actually, just so you guys know, I'm not sharing it tonight. I think I did share it already on my show, but not tonight. But it's based on a dream I had, these dreams I keep having of my sister. She passed away 4 years ago, and as soon as she passed away, I dream about her every night. I dreamt about her last night. I dreamt about her 2 days ago. She's always in my dreams. It's just so that's what made me, and you're right. See, that inspired me to write a story about it. So But in the story, though, it, at the end, I say goodbye and I tell her to move on. But unfortunately, in real life, that's not happened yet. So, you know, yeah.
But, I'm really sorry about that.
Well, you know, it's really kind of, it's bittersweet in a way, because at least it's like she's still with me, you know, and I see her and we talk, and we're never fighting in the dreams or anything like that. She's always rescuing me. Like last night, I was stuck in the tracks of an oncoming train, like one of those subways, and she was pulling me up, trying to rescue me. So I don't know what these dreams mean, but they happen all the time. So, but I'm just going to go with them, I guess. But anyways, I was just wondering, Cal, did you have anything you wanted to say to River, or anything, did you have any questions for her?
Well, I just wanted to identify. I mean, a lot of my stories started out with these dreams too, and I've had very vivid dreams. I've flown and just some very odd stuff, and they do make great ideas for dreams or for stories. And so for me, it's like dreams are a big inspiration for my writing.
Oh, great, great. And, you know, Cal, of course, I know what you write about and everything, but did you want to share, you know, just with Dan and with River, where you're at in your writing right now and your stage of getting published and things like that?
I'm currently working on a collection. My stories are like, there's some short stories in there, but then there's going to be like a narrative that's going to be its own story that kind of links everything together. And they're basically set in the same character universe. So, I mean, it's been very time consuming too. I just started in, December or January. And I mean, it's still not even halfway done. So, but,
yeah, but you're doing very well. You're on like, you've got like 4 out of 6, I know you call them books, collections, but you're doing really well. So, you know, you've only got 2 more left, right? So,
oh, yeah. Unless I think
awesome.
Of more, yeah.
Well, yeah, of course you're going to think of more. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just wanted to thank you, River, so much for your time tonight, and I really appreciate it. And, you know, I really just enjoyed interviewing you, and I thought that was just awesome that you were able to be on the show. And I know everyone's going to really enjoy your interview, and I hope that you can maybe stay with us for the rest of the show. But if not, you know, I just wanted to let you know you're welcome to come back anytime when you do finish what you're working on now, and let us know about it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on your show, and it was very nice to meet Dan and Cal.
Right.
Okay. Very, very interesting. I'd love to see some of y'all's work, of course, and I'd be very, very interested to read about your dreams. And I'll hang out for a little while if you don't mind. If I have to go, I'll just hang up if that's okay with you.
Oh, it's up to you. You're welcome to stay or online, on the phone, or you can listen to your computer or just whatever. I know you'll probably be busy. It's Saturday night. So,
I know, right? Okay.
Right,
well,
right.
It's so very nice to have talked to you on the show, and thank you very much for having me, and hope to do it again soon.
Sounds wonderful. Have a great night, River, and thank you again.
Thank you, John. You're welcome.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I did want to say that our next interview is with James Moorer, and he's scheduled probably in the next, minute to 6 minutes. He hopefully will be able to make it. I know that he was going to be maybe busy a little bit and maybe might be a little late. But if he does run a little late, I think what we'll do is maybe I'll just go ahead and share a short story of my own that was recorded that you guys can listen to and tell me what you think about, okay?
Sounds good.
So, but let me ask you guys, what's going on tonight? How's your weekend going so far, Dan and Cal? What's going on this week?
Well, it got snowed in, so.
Oh, no.
Because, we're part of that storm. northeast area. And so yesterday I couldn't even go outside except like to walk over to my parents because the plows weren't out and you had to walk in the street because the sidewalks weren't safe. Today was a bit better because the plows were out, but still, it's, you know, everyone's dealing with all this snow.
It's just amazing, you know, all these. Now, is this an unusual storm, or is this something you guys do get normally once in a while, or is this, or what do you think this week, not this week, but this year, you know, this winter, how is it for you guys? Is it worse than usual, or?
Well, you know, looking back to my childhood, I can remember us getting a lot of snow. And I guess in about the last 10 years, that's been getting less and less. I mean, last year we didn't get snow until November. Usually we get it in about September. But
no.
So the amount of snow we got this weekend isn't really unusual. It's just unusual that we got it all at once.
Right. It's almost like that storm next, you know, Sandy, that superstorm, you know, just everything, all those fronts were hitting each other, and it was just really bad. Well, I grew up in Ohio, so I, you know, for 31 years until I escaped to California, until I packed up my bags, quit my great job I had, and put them all in my car, what I could fit, and then drove 2,500 miles away. And it's 20 years later, and I'm still here.
That's crazy. I've lived in the same place all my life, and it's been going on 24 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that when I grew up in Ohio, you know, you had just regular weather. You know, you knew that you were going to have a regular winter and this or that. And then just not too long ago, they had like 60-something degree weather in February or in January. I can't remember, but it's just unusual, this weather. So crazy. But anyways, Cal, how's your – I know that you're had a difficult week, but I mean, how's everything going this evening for you?
Well, it's going pretty good. Staying warm. I mean, it's nice and cold outside. I mean, we're not going to have that storm, but I think maybe a little bit of the fringe of it is going to hit here in the next day or so. So we'll be getting a little snow, but probably not as bad as out where they're getting that big blizzard. But otherwise, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, now, if you don't mind me bringing this up on the air, because I know you and I know each other and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I was wondering about your animals. I know that at one point you were going to build put a heater or do something in a building for them, but did they end up just staying indoors?
They're still indoors.
Bless their hearts, yes. We want them indoors. We want
right.
them warm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys, I'm not sure. I know James was saying that he might be just a little late calling in. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play. Let me just get the information here because I wanted to give you guys, I want to give props to my friend. But what I'd like to do is, you know, keeping in the theme of writing tonight, I'd like to share an audio recording of a short story I wrote that I mentioned in the beginning of the show. A friend of mine, Carl Schreiber, provided the voiceover. He did an awesome job at it. The title of the story is Mask of an Angel. So please listen to it. I hope you guys enjoy it. And then we'll be right back. And hopefully by then, James will be on the line and we can start our next interview. So here is Mask of an Angel.
Mask of an Angel by John S. McCormick. As Mary Stewart's dead body lies on her living room floor in a pool of her own blood, a police officer, Jack Martin, speaks into his handheld tape recorder. He says, "It appears the victim has been stabbed many times and strangled. Her feet and hands are bound and her mouth gagged. There is what appears to be a cord from a lamp around her neck." Flashback, 6 months. Kathy Jenkins, a highly successful vice president for a brokerage firm, was scheduled to meet with her new personal assistant, Mary Stewart. Kathy's boss, Tom Nichols, president and CEO of the company, said she came highly recommended. Tom hired Mary on his own, since Kathy was out of town on business, and desperately needed a replacement. Her former assistant had to have her employment terminated suddenly. Right away, Kathy and Mary hit it off. Kathy always told Mary that Mary had a face of an angel, and even though it was unprofessional and would be frowned upon if Tom or others knew, they became good personal friends. Kathy introduced Mary to her fiancé and wanted Mary to attend their wedding, scheduled in a few months. In the meantime, Kathy taught Mary all about the business. She promised Mary she would groom her for a promotion when one was available. Mary learned no one hardly ever left the business, so promotions were hard to come by. Mary had other plans on how to get ahead. She started sabotaging Kathy's work, causing her to get in trouble over and over again with Tom. Mary always did it in a way where it never appeared as any wrongdoing on her part. Mary also started meeting secretly with Kathy's fiancé, pretending to need his help with many things. Eventually, she seduced him. Kathy learned of the affair after she was fired from her job, and Mary was promoted as her replacement. Mary wasn't satisfied enough with what she did. She wanted more. She learned that Tom, now her direct boss, was on a work visa to the United States and was desperate to find a way to stay in the country. After a few drinks one night, Mary suggested they get married and that it would be a business arrangement. She insisted all his money be put in both their names to make it look legit. It was a sum of around $2 million. Mary also insisted they pretend to live together, but secretly keep separate residences. She found an apartment she put under someone else's name where she wanted to live. Tom went along with everything. He, too, thought Mary was an angel. He was so grateful for her help. While living at the new apartment, Mary met Mike Kearney, her neighbor in the building. She knew right away he seemed a little shady. She needed someone to pretend to be Tom, mainly for financial reasons. Mike helped Mary by using fake IDs to remove Tom's name off of all the money in exchange for $50,000. Mary promised she would get the money to him soon. In the meantime, Mary bought some illegal drugs and planted them in Mike's car. She later called and tipped the police off anonymously. Mike was arrested. Now that all of Tom's money was in Mary's name, she made her final move. Mary anonymously called the local immigration office and reported Tom had a fake marriage and gave all the details. She told them where, in Tom's home, they could find all the documentation to prove it. Mary hid out in her apartment until she learned Tom was taken by immigration and placed into deportation. Mary was getting her bags together and preparing to leave the apartment and town forever when the doorbell rang. She looked out the peephole, but saw no one there. She decided to open the door anyway. Standing there were three people in the Three Stooges masks. Before Mary could shut the door, two of them grabbed her. One person had their hand over her mouth to muffle her screams. Mary was forced to the floor, and her arms were bound together first, and then her legs. Finally, her mouth was gagged. She was on her back, facing up. The third person, who had just stood in the background, came forward and presented a huge knife. While Mary was being held down and tried to scream, this person knelt down and stabbed Mary in the stomach several times. The knife was passed to the next person, who stabbed Mary several times on the right side of her chest. The knife was passed to the last person, who stabbed Mary in the heart, also several times. Mary shook slightly on the floor, no longer trying to scream, but still aware. The masked killers took their masks off one by one to reveal their true identities. Mary first saw Tom, and then Mike, and finally, Kathy. At that point, Mike grabbed a lamp cord, putting it around Mary's neck, and strangled her until she was dead. Turns out, After getting out on bail, Mike had contacted Tom, who also was let go until his court date, and Kathy about what Mary did. Together, they planned their revenge. Flashback to the present. When Officer Martin opens one of Mary's suitcases, he finds a thick folder. He opens it to find articles about a woman named Lisa Marshall, who looks just like Mary. The articles are about all the crimes and scams Lisa did, including murder. She once set an apartment building on fire, killing many people just to get revenge from an ex. Officer Martin finds an article about her being declared unfit to stand trial and committed to a mental institution. Then he sees another article about her escaping from this facility and never being seen again. Officer Martin put the tape recorder back to his mouth while looking at the articles. He says, "Looks like her past finally caught up with her."
Well, thank you guys for listening to that, and we are back. I just wanted to give props again to Carl Schreiber. I think he did an excellent job on that voiceover. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that was pretty good.
I liked how he changed his voice for the detective. Yeah.
Kind of film noirish, you know, kind of like Humphrey Bogart or something.
I tried it, and Cal knows this. I was trying my best to record it myself, and but then I and then Carl said he would do it for me, and so I was just so impressed when I received the file he sent me, and I was like the audio file, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool, you know. So, but anyways, thanks again, guys, for listening to that. You know, it's one of my short stories, and I'll just tell you kind of briefly. I'm part of an anthology that's coming out that started as a writers group on Facebook. But the thing is that the writers like River, who you just spoke to, just listened to, she's in the group too. And there's a lot of short stories that we wrote. Every 2 weeks we'd write a new story with a new theme. And so we have so many stories now, and it was supposed to be published maybe by yesterday. So it's coming up. I mean, any day now it's going to be published. So I'll let you guys know next week. Hopefully I'll have more information on it. But I think this is one of my stories that's in it. So it looks like we have another caller. Let me find out who's calling in. Hi, welcome. This is John. Who's calling in?
Hi, John. It's Joey Savage.
Hey, Joey. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. Have you been listening tonight, or did you just get a chance?
I just got here, so
Oh, okay.
A little bit there.
Well, you know, we just got done interviewing River Jordan. I think you
awesome.
Know her, right? Yeah, she was just she was great. She was awesome on it. And but what I wanted to let you know is that tonight's theme is writing. So anybody that's a writer, I'd love to talk more to about that. I mean, I know that you have a book out, The Vanilla People. So,
yes, sir.
And we have talked about that before, but I think I'd like to talk about it again. Can you let us know, about your book and then how they can get a hold of a copy of it?
I'd love to. The title is The Vanilla People, Saga of a Savage Family. It's available on Amazon.com or at PublishAmerica.com. And it's humorous anecdotes about my family and growing up in Sparks, Nevada, a collection of columns that I wrote when I was a reporter for a little California newspaper.
Yeah, well, that's great. And you know, I was just wondering, too, I know that, Joey is also a stand-up comic. And I got the pleasure of seeing her perform one time, and I can't wait to see you again.
Right.
So, yeah, that would be cool. And, you know, I may be coming to Texas, just so you know. So,
wonderful.
What, yeah. But, you know, I think I'm going to be going to Austin. But that's not too far away from Dallas, is it?
Nothing is too far away.
Okay. Well, it looks like, unfortunately, We just dropped Dan. I was going to ask him about his writing. So, Dan, if you're listening, we did accidentally get you disconnected from the show. So please give us a call back because I want to find out more about your writing, too. Well, you know, I just played an audio clip of a short story that I wrote, and I had this great guy who did the voiceover. I mean, he did an awesome job. And but, you know, we do have a scheduled interview coming up here in the next few minutes, and I'm hoping that Don Thomas can make it. I know that Marie Bruce was going to make it, but she and Tom talked about it, and I think he's going to be calling in. So he's going to talk a little bit more about an anthology with some short stories in it from our group. And so I'm really looking forward to that. But Joey, what's going on with you this weekend?
I have been working. I did a church event, and that went really well. Having a good time, that's all. And now the rest of the weekend I can relax and be bored.
So now I got to ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, when you had this church event, were you doing stand-up there?
Yes, sir.
So what kind of stand-up can you do at a church? I'm just curious. I mean, what's
very
the
clean
topic?
Sets. I have to remember not to say crap.
Oh, okay.
I'm really fond of that word for some reason.
Well, I was just wondering because I know that, but you know, that's the great thing about being versatile as a comic is that you can perform anywhere. You know, I mean, if you can perform in a church, you're pretty versatile, you know, because
you just have a little self-control is all.
But you know, the thing is that I, you know, one of these days, like I told you, I'm always going to try to perform, but I don't know how it's going to go. We'll see. But anyways, I was just wondering, is there anything going on with either one of you? Oh, I'm sorry, Joey. Cal is on the line too. Cal Kane and Joey Savage. And I was just wondering if there's anything going on this weekend, because you know what I want to do is have an open forum, a little part of the show every week. And I was just wondering, is there anything that's going on that you'd like to talk about tonight?
Not really here.
What's that?
Not much going on here, I'm afraid.
I know. Sometimes there's not much going on. I know. That's my life, you know, sometimes. Not much is going on. But Joey, I wanted to ask you something. And I don't think I asked you this when we spoke before. What was it, you know, that inspired you to write? You know, I mean, when did you start writing?
I started writing when I was a little kid, when I first learned how to pick up a pencil. I think I was trying to get some attention, and that's how it started. And I'll tell you, I wrote my first poem when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was really, really literary awesomeness. You want to hear it?
Yes, absolutely. I just actually just played a poem I wrote at 10 years old. So this is good. I liked it. Yes, I want to hear it.
When I was 3, I wrote, "It's March, it's March. Birds flap and flarch." The end.
I like that.
My mom thought that was so clever that she sent it around to all my relatives, and they called her and said, "What the hell is flarch?" But we didn't know.
Well, you know, at least you know, at 3 years old, you were talented enough to know to try to rhyme, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, well, you know, maybe if you get a chance, you know, later on this week or something, come back and listen to the archive file, at least the beginning. And
I definitely will.
Yeah, because what I did was I shared a poem I wrote when I was 10 years old, and I won a poetry contest. And,
wow, that's great.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's very basic. It's very simple because I'm only 10. But the thing is that... the thing that happened was, and what I was explaining to everybody is that, you know, my teacher was so supportive and just really encouraged me to keep a journal and to do more writing. And that's what changed everything for me. And to this day, you know, I can't live unless I'm writing. You know, I've got to write every day, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's,
you know.
Teachers are great. That inspired me as well. My first and second grade teachers were awesome when I was learning to read and write. And they just plied me with books and told me to keep going and keep going. And I read A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, and the main character, Francie, is really inspired by her teacher and told that people with imagination are the ones who go the furthest. So,
yeah,
that
that's
it.
Awesome. Yeah, well, you know, I was lucky, and I think you were lucky too. You know, back when we were growing up, teachers were just amazing and just so dedicated and just, you know, inspiring. You know,
mm-hmm.
to their students. And, but, you know, I won't go down that road, another topic, but I just mean, you know, unfortunately, my nieces and my nephews and other people that I've known didn't have that, you know, experience. But I'm so grateful that I had that growing up. And they really did. I mean, they do change your lives because they inspire you. So, well, let me just ask you now, Joey, now you did write your book, The Vanilla People. Now, are you planning any other books? Are you working on anything right now, any stories or anything?
I'm working on procrastinating. I'm doing that really well.
Well, do you have an idea of anything that you might
I have lots of ideas, John. It's just, you know, getting them onto paper, sketching them out, and then getting them from paper to print, and then, you know, it's really an involved process. The Vanilla People took me 10 years, and...
That's amazing,
crazy.
Though.
It's crazy.
But you know what? I mean, 10 years, I mean, I'm sure that happened. Like right now, I'm writing a self-help book, right? I've been writing it since 2000, so that's 13 years. So I'm beating you there. And I still haven't finished it yet.
You're right on schedule.
Yeah, I've got 13 years I've been working on it. But, you know, I've been doing a lot of work lately on it, so I think, you know, and I see a lot of progress because I do everything. I come up with the graphs and the chart, you know, the charts and the, you know, just everything, you know, the pictures. I'm doing everything for it. So so we'll see. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. You know, it has a bunch of different ideas and concepts that's supposed to help people that I've used for myself. And, you know, so I really, that's like my passion is really to write, but it's also to finish that dang book, you know.
That's great.
13 years, you know, that's a little long. Well, it looks like, let me see, I don't know what happened to James Moorer. We did have him scheduled tonight. I should have sent him a personal message or something to remind him, because I know he's busy, because he just had an interview or something that he was just doing that he posted where they really liked his idea for a story, but then they turned it down or something. They did that today. And I'm not, like, giving any special behind-his-back info out there. That's what he posted on Facebook. So hopefully, you know, maybe he'll still get a chance to call in tonight. But that's okay. I think what I'm going to do is probably, I've actually was counting on those interviews, and I'm waiting for Don Thomas to call in, but he hasn't called in either, so maybe he got busy. I know him and Sherry were talking, and they were busy with somebody in town that was doing a performance.
Hey,
so,
Don.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, while you're talking about writing, are you in the mood to discuss publishing? Because that is really a deep subject there. And
yeah, absolutely.
Self-publishing
yeah.
versus a big publisher and all that. It's,
well, that's a great topic, yeah. Tell us about
it.
It's you've experienced. Yeah.
Unfortunately, well, you know, there are people that want just your money and they don't care if you're a fantastic writer or not. And there are some companies and publishers that are just wonderful. So you really got to do your research, and unfortunately I did not.
Oh, so, okay, so your experience wasn't that great then, right?
No, but since then I've learned a lot of research that goes into it is key. You know, I have friends that have gone through similar experiences and some that have gone through much better experiences because of the amount of work that they do. All I wanted to do was get published, and so that's what I did. I didn't do any kind of research whatsoever, and I got kind of stuck with the publisher I got.
Oh, no, that's a great topic to bring up tonight, because that's a great heads up for everybody, you know, to know about that. Because I think you're right. I think some of these places probably play on the fact that they just want, they know that the people who are the writers just want to get published, so they're willing to do anything, you know,
right.
And they take advantage of that. Yeah, I can see that happening. So, but now, are you satisfied now with the publisher you have now, or do you have
no.
a new publisher? Oh, no. Okay, still same one. Okay, yeah. Well, you know what? Like you said, you know, you learned from that, so...
Yeah, that is actually a good experience, you know, because you learn... by learning, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
Latin error. Trial and error, yeah.
Well, we have Cal on the line, and Joey, I'm not sure if he was on the line with you before. I can't remember, mm-hmm. but this is Cal, and he's just getting started, mm-hmm. you know, with hopefully getting his work then copyrighted, and then eventually published. So I think you've helped. So do you have any questions for Joey, Cal, about this publishing thing?
Well, I guess how do you go about contacting any kind of publisher to potentially have your work published? I mean, I don't exactly know where to go to find any of these publishers.
Right. Well, a lot of internet research is necessary, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You look for publishers on, well, I just Googled, and I found quite a few. There's Publish America, which I went through, and then there's createspace.com, and I've heard really good things about them. There's a few others, and I can't even think of the names right now, but they will all look at your work. And when you publish, that's when you get your copyright and your ISBN number. And so once they take it, all that stuff falls into place.
Okay.
Well, great. You know, I that's good information, I think, for anyone that's listening, because that's something that, I mean, even beneficial that I've been thinking about too, you know. Because, you know, I have my book that's almost done. Maybe just give me 13 more years, it'll be finished. but no, I'm really, it's moving along, But yeah, I think that's great advice. And thank you, Joey, so much, you know, for sharing that.
Well, I was hoping that you had some advice too, or Cal, anybody that is listening that has a miracle plan for a publisher, that would be awesome.
Okay, well, you know what? Why don't we do this? You put that out there, and let me do some research, because I do know a lot of writers, and I'm sure you do too. So, but let me see if I can get any advice and any information. And I was hoping, like I said, that James and Don would be on, but they both did tell me that they might be busy with something that was going on, some performance or something. So, but that's okay. You know, I've enjoyed talking to you, Joey, and to Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was just wondering, before we end the show, is there anything else that you guys would like to talk about, or anything going on, or, you know, this evening?
I got nothing.
Okay. I don't have anything either. So you know what? I think we're going to... Now, before we end the show, I did want to say that I did write a bedtime story for us, you know, because it is late for some of us tonight. So to tuck you into bed and get you to go to sleep tonight, I did record a bedtime story that I wrote. It's called Goodnight Tommy. Now, this isn't going to end the show. We're going to be right back to say goodbye, but here's Goodnight Tommy, all right?
Goodnight Tommy by John S. McCormick. Tommy looks out his bedroom window at the clouds floating by. He imagines riding on them to a grand adventure in the sky. He watches the birds flying by, shakes hands with Mr. Sun, waves to his friends below until the day is done. At night, he sees Mr. Moon shining like a spotlight on him. Tommy is on stage, the stars his audience. He feels he can do anything. He sings songs with ease, pulls a rabbit from a hat, plays the piano, dances with a cat. But now it's time for Tommy to go to bed. Close his eyes and dream of what can be. He knows everyone loves him. Tomorrow he soon will see. Good night, Tommy.
So that's my little bedtime story. But I just want to thank you, Dan, who called in earlier, and River. And I want to thank Cal and Joey, who's with us right now, for calling in, and I just hope that you guys all have a wonderful evening. And, you know, but next Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time will be our next episode. But in the meantime, you know, if you guys want to PM me about any topic ideas or anything maybe that's going on with you that you want to share or anything, I'm saying this to everybody who's listening, please feel free to do that, because I'd like to reschedule you know, more interviews for everyone, and, you know, showcase what's going on. So you guys have a great night, and this is John signing off. So have a great night, friends.
Good night.
Yeah, good night.